Hey there, Bet Blast podcast listeners. We come to you today with some exciting news. Nominations for DVM360's 4th Annual Veterinary Heroes Awards have been extended until May 31st. This means that you have almost 6 more weeks to nominate your veterinary superhero. Remember, we are honoring one person from 11 different categories. Keep in mind that these are peer-to-peer nominations, so you are encouraged to nominate any veterinary professional, no matter what you specialize in. So don't forget to nominate your veterinary superhero by May 31st. Check out DVM360 to learn more, and the link to nominate will be in today's show notes. Enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM360.
Hey, do you or does your hospital have a training program or training plan in place? Well, we're going to chat more about it with Certified Veterinary Practice Manager, Jessica Molina. How are you, my friend?
I am doing fantastic. It's a nice sunny morning here in Florida, so I can't complain.
Oh, you had me at Florida. So sunny over there.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm so interested and intrigued by learning more about training programs because in 2023, believe it or not, I'm sure you know this too, is like some of them, we really don't have much about it. So I'm really open to learning more about what that is, about stacking and so forth. So to our listeners, a little bit more about a wonderful friend, Jessica. She's been in the veterinary industry for about 20 of the past 25 years. For most of her entire veterinary career, she has not only been a veterinary professional, but a military spouse, relocating with the Navy, which offered her the opportunity to work in several practices around the country. And like many managers, she's held just about every position in the clinic along the way. She's not only a certified veterinary practice manager, but a human resources professional and has earned many other professional designations over the year, including, by the way, shout out, practice manager of the year for VHMA and DVM360. So congratulations for that. And her most recent career focus has been in multi-site operations, and she's incredibly passionate about her career in coaching and financial optimization. So great work that you're doing in this profession. Thank you for everything you're doing.
Oh, thank you. It's super, super exciting. And to piggyback off of what you said, COVID really brought a whole new level of stress to not only the workday, but training staff members. I mean, who had the time? And that was the number one complaint is, you know, effectively training, but also getting the job done. It just, who has that many tentacles, right? Like, how many hands do we have? How many arms do we have? And training is exhausting.
Yeah. It really is. So, and now, do most clinics still have it? Do they have a training program?
Yes. Yeah, so most every clinic that I encounter, work with, or, you know, we all do networking at events and talk about what's working, what's not working, you know, how do you do this? What do you do about that? And share resources. And most clinics do have a training program. However, it's typically not the most organized or methodical training approach. So that's what I encounter is it's disorganized, but like we navigate through chaos, right? So we're used to that. Yeah. And so I have come to realize there really is truly a better way.
Yeah. And so in your experience, what do some of these programs look like? And does the execution differ from the intended plan? Because I can only imagine in vet med what that must look like.
So I'll start with your second question first. Yes. Most often the execution of the intended training differs from the plan or the original plan. So we all go in with good intentions, right? But because, you know, HR is very important, there tends to be a lot of emphasis and detail on the onboarding activities. And so I see a lot more robust onboarding experiences than I do with the training programs. And so the training programs typically consist of an employee manual, you know, all the yes, you can do's and no, you can't of working at this hospital, a training checklist, something for someone to sign off on various skills and saying, yep, taught them that or observed their ability to perform that task. Some resource guides, like maybe handouts or reference sheets, similar to what you might give to a client, or sometimes they are the same ones. And then they're turned over to the most knowledgeable employee or seasoned, basically whoever is designated as the trainer for that day or that period. And during that training program, they receive an overview of systems and processes in between calls and client-facing activities. And then the training itself usually encompasses whatever the trainer, the actual employee, not the new hire, is encountering or handling at any given moment throughout the day. And then if the individual is experienced, like they come to us having worked in this field already or in that type of role with a different clinic, oftentimes less attention or less focus is given to those skills and abilities that the individual came to the clinic with. And we sometimes forget that each clinic has differing approaches, standards, equipment, and systems. And so that training must still exist.
And do you think that's why, I'm not saying all, but let's call it what it is, training programs can go awry. They really can, and they can go off the rails. So is it because we're so busy? Is it a lack of follow through? Like, and how do you get training back on track?
Yeah, so again, like I said, we go with the best interest in mind. We try to think about all of the things that an employee of our company must know or need to know to effectively perform their job. And then it's, you know, throughout the day, the trainer has to get their job done. So you think about in any given day, an actual employee who is training another employee still has to do their job. If a client comes in and we need to refund that diet, that employee needs to handle it. And then 2 hours later, you know, clients should be up and moving. So it's time to do follow-up calls, right? And so they're navigating through all the day, doing all these various activities. And so we feel compelled to teach a new hire all of those various activities as they're occurring, because I think part of us feels rude. You don't want to just leave the trainee there. And of course, no hospital wants to pay a new hire just to sit there, right? You're paying them to do and paying them to learn. And so the trainer dumps everything, dumps all this knowledge, right? As they're doing things, instead of kind of putting a big timeout and going, okay, to not be rude, I can tell the trainee what I'm doing, but put a pause on the training of it because there's other pieces that need to be addressed or learned first. So you think about a diet, you know, client comes in, says, you know, Fluffy's just not eating this, and I was told that I could return it. Instead of training the new hire who doesn't even know how to process a payment yet, right? That kind of doesn't make sense. Or know when can you accept returns? When can't you? Are there any other processes or need to knows? Just saying, hey, you know, I'm going to process this return, but when we start working on payments or discounts and refund policies, I'll train you on how to handle returns at that point in time. And allowing the employee just to observe and not have to train on that when they don't even know the systems and policies in place for it. So that's just kind of one example of how it kind of goes awry. We're just doing the day to day.
Yeah. And I know, you know, we have so many different teams, technicians, assistants, you know, CSRs and so forth. How long does it or should it take to train a new hire?
You know, so that will vary from clinic to clinic and employee to employee, depending on a variety of things. So is this individual a full-time or a part-time employee? So when you look at the total number of hours, it's going to be similar, but the number of days, right? Will vary depending on full-time versus part-time and their experience level coming into the clinic. So for me, I think if you're doing a this is my perspective. I know there can be some agreeing to disagree on this, but with a methodical training approach and building confidence from day one, because that's the other piece too, is having someone trained on all these various activities, but not really mastering and being confident of it, then let's be real. The actual trainer trainee partnership may end at a certain time period, but there's still a lot of handholding. And so then they say, my staff is never, you know, fully trained. They're not fully trained. And it's been so many days or weeks. If you want to gain all of that and really think about bringing that in and making it manageable and delivering in a timely, effective training program, then for me, I think it's 3 to 4 weeks of full robust training, plus an additional 1 to 2 weeks of solidifying confidence and efficiency. What I mean is they may not be directly working with a trainer, but they're building on their confidence and the repertoire, right? Like the speed and that confidence of executing. So they might not be as fast or have to refer to material or another individual, but they're going to build during that time period. So I think 30 days is very realistic, plus or minus, given the individual and the time frame.
Yeah, because we all have different learning curves and so forth, and time, to your point. There's something else I want to chat with you about, because I think I've read it from you, and it was on skills stacking. So I don't know if the listeners know about that. So if you don't mind, what is skills stacking, and where does one begin?
Yeah, so I love good old analogies and reference images. And so, you know, I always call this, you know, training that doesn't involve everything and the kitchen sink. And I know the old saying is, but the kitchen sink. But when you think about all of the activities and skills required of an individual in a veterinary clinic, when you put like a visualization on it, almost I can picture this vessel full of all this stuff. And so for me, it's like a sink, and you got plates and bowls and everything's different sizes and just kind of crammed in there. And the sink is the vessel, right? Yeah. And, you know, you can work through dishes a whole lot faster if they're organized, right? If they're stacked and they're methodical, and, you know, you can get through them more efficiently and with better quality. And then we've also heard that, you know, putting the cart before the horse, like we don't want to put the cart before the horse, right? Like the horse pulls the cart. And so that's exactly the image I want you to think about when you're thinking about skill stacking, because skill stacking is creating a natural, effective sequence of activities and then cutting them into digestible doses and building upon them each day so that there's balance in both the trainer and the new hire's plates. And so, you know, I'll give you an example to help you wrap your head around it. So for instance, say day one, we're gonna talk about a receptionist. The reason why I always use the receptionist to create a mental imagery is because there are various approaches to training veterinary assistants. And in some clinics, client education or rooms are trained upon early on. And then things such as labs and treatment are trained upon secondary, where some clinics say, you know, I don't like new hires talking, educating clients without having spent time behind the scenes, and we can have conversations and assessments on knowledge before they go and perform activities in rooms. So you see, that's a completely flip of script and activities. But to wrap your head around skill stacking, so think about a receptionist. They have to learn Cornerstone. They have to learn how to check emails, open the clinic, close the clinic, put in correspondence notes, void payments, make payments, like all these various activities. Is getting them down in a list. So starting with creating a list of all the possible activities and sub-activities, and then organizing them in a way that you don't have activities coming before ones that require other systems and learning. So putting them in order. So for instance, we talked about, you know, refunding a client's dietary return. Well, if you haven't trained them on Cornerstone, like they don't even know the basics of Cornerstone, that's great that you taught them how to do a return on a diet today, but tomorrow they can't do it on their own, right? Because they don't even know how to get to that patient's record and that prescription section and to process labels and things such as that. So basically create an entire organization and then moving them in order and then creating digestible training sections. And then the next day, reviewing what you provided them on day one, reviewing and then stacking on a few more. So I'll give you an example. So say day one is typically onboarding and all of the activities, just getting them oriented and getting to know people. And then some superficial overview of systems, like all the systems that they'll be working with. So we'll just say the day one training on the floor a review of cornerstones. So you're learning all the cornerstone modules or Avamark or ImprimeT or whichever PIM system you're using. And so we're going to go through all of that. And then every time a client comes in, I, as a trainer, am going to be working with the client, but I might ask my trainee, okay, where is the module for this? Where would I click? And they're going to show me. And so then they're getting proficient at moving through the PIM system. So then day two, we refresh and just go over just briefly, all right, just making sure they remember where the modules are within the PIM system. And then I'm going to teach them day two, professional communication, sending and printing records, accessing emails, and where to find emails and text messages that come through the client communication system. So then the next day, when the employee comes in, we're going to re-review those activities. They're going to continue to do all of the activities as they occur throughout the day of the skills that they've learned. And then we're going to add 2 to 3 more activities to their list. So what that would mean is the next day they come in, every time we need to send or print a medical record, the new hire is going to do that. They're going to open the emails and they're going to learn how to attach those to records and how to log whatever it is I've communicated to the client. They're going to log it for me and show that they know how to do that. And then we're going to add new skills. And so they stack.
That's cool. I like that.
And we could go on and on with skill stacking, right?
Because there's so many in vet med, which I think is so good. It's such an opportunity to grow. It discourages me when I hear somebody like, oh, I feel stuck. I'm like, ooh, because there's so many things that you can keep on doing and challenging yourself, right?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just taking it and making it bite size.
Sure.
And so then the employee is getting to perform the activities. And then when you do have to, as the trainer, perform your actual work that varies or that differs from whatever is on the training plan that day, you just simply look over at your trainee and say, okay, this is the point in the day where I do this activity. You know, feel free to observe and you know, I'll just tell you what I'm doing, but I'm not going to teach you. I'm just going to tell you. I'm pulling callbacks. I need to print the list for the medical support staff, the doctors, and for the reception. So I'm just going to print those and dissect those out. And then I'm going to perform the calls that I need to perform. And then, you know, later on day 9, you can look at their training guide and say, okay, day 9, you're going to train on this. But for now, just listen because I need to get it done.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love learning about this. So, you know, the other thing that I hear about training is when somebody says, oh, that process just takes too long and I need them functioning sooner. Is there a way to speed up the training process?
There absolutely is. We have so many resources out there to take training off of our plates. So is not new. ACT is not new. Ignite is not new. At Dove is not new. It's taking the time, because that's the other piece too, is as a trainer or as a manager, you need to review these resources and see, do they fit and apply to your practice? And I, as a manager, like to do that. And then when you think about these training platforms, yeah, it's kind of a one size fits all. Sometimes you can find it specific, like say Cornerstone, this particular activity as it applies to Cornerstone, or this particular activity as it applies to Pet Desk, or whatever systems you're using, or lab equipment or so forth. But oftentimes they'll be more abridged, especially if you think about reception activities, because those are more client experience. And, so I like to watch them and say, okay, does it give me the bulk of the content? And then how can I create a document or guide to supplement? So I love Ignite for very new green CSRs. I think it's an outstanding program. And so I participated in that training. And then I took it a step further and said, well, it says, you know, go back and ask your trainer or ask your hospital this. No need. Here you go. Refer to this page in your training binder. This is how we handle this specifically. But it gave them the back history and gave them the foundation of veterinary medicine. And then I just needed to supplement. So that's one way you can speed up the training program, is to leverage these and go ahead and proactively create supplemental material so that they don't have to come back and ask you. They can refer and then have the whole picture and then come back and work on delivering those activities, right? So they get the foundational academic training through a source and then the applicable hands-on with the team. So you can do it that way. The second piece is, and I don't see this enough in hospitals, is we train quite frequently, right? Our teams are growing and a lot of us have larger teams, and taking the time to record it. I know we don't like to listen to ourselves or see ourselves, but your new hire is not here to judge the way you sound or the way you look on the video. It's the delivery of the content that they need to do their job. And instead of training over and over and over again, wouldn't it be great to say, all right, Sally, new hire, I need to do callbacks. So while I'm doing callbacks, I'm going to set you on this computer and you're going to review these modules in ACT or these pre-recorded videos of how to do this in our clinic. We've recorded these videos for you to learn and train from. And then when I'm done, we'll review and you'll start applying what you've learned to today or to tomorrow. That's how you can speed up training.
Yeah, no point in reinventing the wheel when there's some great resources that are out there for them, especially with videos, like you said. So I love that. Well, this has been fantastic, Jessica. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us, and where can we learn more about you?
So I am back in general private practice. So if you want to come on down to sunny Florida, of course you can see me in practice anytime. but if you'd like to learn more or see some of my training skill stacked resource, so I have methodical training plans, of course, feel free to email me at professionals, that's plural, so with an S, professionals, the number 4, pets, that also is plural, at gmail.com. I also hope that you'll save and revisit this podcast at any point in time. In addition, you'll find some of the upcoming webcasts that I'll be participating in with the VHMA as well and the VHMA annual conference.
Oh, it's excellent. Yeah, I love that you're shedding light on creating a positive new hire experience, and these training programs are fantastic. So thank you so much for all you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure talking to you all.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for tuning in, everyone. Don't forget to rate this podcast. It always helps us out significantly. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.